I'm about to feed him to the sharks right now.
Get him hype right now.
Yeah. You know the ground is our.
Yeah.
Everybody that trains, you know the game.
Yeah.
So let's get it. Slap it up, bump it and roll.
Hey.
Yeah, that's the way that it go. Ain't no better way to better yourself in this game. You're feeling the growth.
That's real.
That's time on the mat. We put in the work. Believe it ain't easy, I know. But we train for the love of the game, the love of the art. Now slap it up, bump it, let's roll.
Let's roll.
Welcome to episode 11 of the BJJ Campaign Podcast. My name is Jeff Boone. I'm an A3, blue belt, one stripe.
And this is Phil Kors, A2, white belt, four stripes.
John Schell, shrunk down A3, black belt, no stripe.
Samantha Seff, A0, purple belt, two stripes.
A0, first A0 we've had on there.
That's true.
And by the way, you guys were way better than that. At that than Phil was for the first 8 episodes.
Maybe 9.
I think it's the volume.
I've been on a few podcasts.
Very good. So thanks for coming and joining us today. Just to introduce John Schell, Phil and I had the honor of training with John last night at his place, Shell Shock BJJ in Fuquay Arena. Thank you for that, John. We really enjoyed that last night.
Of course, yeah. I appreciate you guys coming in and checking it out. You know, all the guys really enjoyed rolling with you all, so thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I had a really good time. I enjoyed the takedown stuff, pressure passing stuff. That's all stuff I like to try to work on, get better at. I had a lot of fun.
You guys have to come out again. Sorry I missed it, but I was watching John's daughter kick some boys' butts at a wrestling meet, so.
Your excuse is well documented, and we forgive you for that. So, John, 2017 brown belt world champion masters.
Right.
I want to kind of start in on, was that a goal of yours when you first started jiu-jitsu?
No. The goal of mine when I first started jiu-jitsu was to just get out of, like, the life that I was in. I was in a bad place, bad relationship. I was doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have been doing, smoking, drinking, other things. And so I just wanted to get out of that. And so I remembered wrestling in high school and how much fun I had doing that and how good I felt after I did that. So and what shape I was in. I was in great shape then. And so I was like, I want to go back to training. So I really liked MMA. I watched MMA a lot. And so I went back, started training, stopped smoking, stopped drinking as much. And just started, you know, going 6 days a week for the first time. You know, when I started training, I did 6 days a week, 4 hours a day. And that's how I started.
Wow.
And then after about...
I thought we were obsessed with
that. After about 4 or 5 months, then I kind of toned it down to about 4 times a week.
Yeah. And how old were you when you started? Because you're 46 right now, right?
44.
44.
Yeah. 44. Don't put 2 years on.
I was just trying to make myself feel better. I'm 47. Getting ready to be 48. But so how old were you when you started?
34. Yeah, I started at 34. It was at the end of 2008 I started. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, I started doing some MMA, went through a boxing boot camp just to get my fitness level good, mm-hmm. and did some, you know, rudimentary jiu-jitsu at that time. It was more MMA focused. And then the school that I was at, they stopped their MMA program. Mm-hmm. And so that was about 4 or 5 months in. And then that's when I went to Professor Rubens Rodriguez in Mebbe, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I found out that at that time he was a third degree black belt. It was the only one in the area, and I think tri-state area. Mm-hmm. And so I started training with him, and from the time I was a white belt to black belt, I've been with him.
Wow. That's impressive. And how far, was it kind of close to where you were? Or did you
No, it was at least 45 minutes to where whenever I first started going there.
Yeah.
And now it's about an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So you didn't have that in mind. When did you change your mindset? When did you say, hey, I mean, because obviously you have to go with purpose in order to be a right. Masters brown belt champion, right? I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, so a lot of things happened during my journey in jiu-jitsu. I wasn't really focused on, making this really a thing.
Yeah.
You know, the first part of my jiu-jitsu journey. And I think what really turned the corner for me was when I was awarded my purple belt, shortly after, I had to stop jiu-jitsu for about a year. And I had a fusion in my back, L5, S1 sure. fusion, and I had a bilateral fracture that needed to be repaired. So I was out of jiu-jitsu for about a year, and then whenever I came back, you know, I knew I wanted to come back, but I felt like a white belt. Like, everything was in my mind, but my body just wouldn't do it. So I had to like put forth a lot of effort, a lot of pain, just to get back to the point where I could do the things that I knew I could do before. And then once I got to that point, that mental fortitude and that determination stayed with me to push me even further. So I knew that I could accomplish anything after that, you know? So I just worked harder, went to as many competitions as I could. To give you an example, in 2016, I competed 23 times. In 2017, I had 17 competitions, plus I won Worlds and had 2 MMA fights. And so I just been pushing myself constantly. And I noticed that by me just enveloping myself into jiu-jitsu and everyday life, not giving myself a break from it, and most of that is because I started teaching and started really focusing on leading by example versus just saying, guys, I want you to go do this, but I'm gonna sit back and I'm just gonna coach you. No, I wanna show them that I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna put forth all this effort in training and competition and while I'm doing everything else in life, and to show everybody that it's possible.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. That's an incredible story. That's, how many times did you say 2016, 23?
23 times, yes.
Wow. It's every other weekend.
That is every other weekend. Yep. Very interesting. Thank you for that, John. And just to mention to the audience, the background noise is because we're out here at Toro Cup 12, right, Philly?
That's right. It's great, great matches today. I've seen a lot of really good matches.
Including the Wolf Queen herself.
It's true.
Samantha Seff had a victory over Abby Salser.
Taylor Salser.
It was a phenomenal match, by the way. Super exciting.
It was fun.
I thought you were caught in that guillotine. I'm going to be honest with you.
We actually practiced guillotine defenses all last week. Josh, my stand-up coach, will tell you I'm like obsessed with practicing guillotine defense because for MMA, I know a lot of jiu-jitsu, but we'll joke around like any idiot knows a guillotine. Like, you see it happen all the time. Like, white belts can come out there and guillotine somebody, and I'm like, I refuse to lose from guillotines. Like, so I practice them like religiously.
That's good. That's good because you can go straight to the Von Flue from that.
I never really feel in danger from the guillotine, and that's just because of repetition and practice. I think because I train so much, it helps me stay calm. So I don't.
You made me nervous in that guillotine. But
yeah, him and Josh, I could tell weren't at all because they're just
you
like
weren't,
just
you knew what was going on. That's cool. Okay, good. I see. That's part of it. And Samantha, one of the reasons I wanted to have you guys on together was I absolutely love your blog. I mean, day that I read it, the rawness and the honesty and just your willingness to kind of unclothe in front of everybody and share your own naked thoughts is what we're trying to do here each and every time.
We're a big fan of nakedness.
Who isn't? Who isn't? I knew it was going there from their blog. So.
You started.
I know, I did.
You read my writing, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But tell me what kind of inspired you to do that. And I know you're writing for, Jiu-Jitsu
Times yeah,
right now?
Freelance.
Doing some freelance stuff. I think that's awesome. I think they're really lucky to have you in that respect.
Yeah.
But what kind of got you started with that?
I was at a job that I wasn't too happy with, and I would write on the side, but I never really submitted anything anywhere. And he was getting on me, like, you're the best writer that I've ever read. Like, you need to be doing contests, doing submissions. And Jeff Shaw, who over at Dirty White Belt,
who's
really good with computer stuff, he was like, hey, like, I would love to set up a website for you. I'm not, you know, very good with technology, so I just do the writing. And he set up, people ask me all the time, how'd you set this up? I'm like, I have no idea. I was like, I just write. And then they always say, like, write about what you know. And I know a lot of people, because I'm an instructor at John's gym as well, and I would hear stuff from people who struggle. You know, the blue belt blues is a thing. People feeling like they're not getting better, or like you just have those days where you're just getting wailed upon, and like you want to cry and break down. And I just tell her, like, do it in the shower, let the tears wash down the drain. And then, you know, I was struggling a lot coming into a relationship with somebody who had like grown teenage kids, and I just felt like it was so, I was like, people make this look so easy. And then I found out after writing that, I got contacted by so many people that were like, nope, parenting is hard. And I was like, this is so much harder than fighting. So I have lots of renewed respect for people out there now. That's for sure.
No, that's awesome. And I actually want to take a step back because I'm curious. I don't know the story, but I'm sure there is one. How did you guys meet?
So funny story is the first time we met, we kind of knew of each other, but we never met each other until Hoyce Gracie came to Raleigh a few years back, right?
Like, yeah, it was like three and a half years yeah. ago.
And so we were there at the same seminar, and we really didn't know each other, like I said. And then Hoyce paired us up together.
Well, the reason he paired us up together was some guy was originally my partner, because the group I came with, we were odd numbers, and I was the higher rank out of them, so I was like, I'll find someone else. And I got partnered with a guy who'd never done jiu-jitsu before, but heard of Hoyce Gracie was coming. And he had no idea what he was doing, and I accidentally like slammed him on his face. And Bagels was out there, and he was like, no, we need to switch this. And then Hoyce walks over and was like, John, this is Sam. And I was like, oh my God, okay. And I didn't want to work with him because the week previous, he had just beat one of my coaches at my former school in a jiu-jitsu match. And I was like, I don't want to work with this jerk.
It was the
concussion cast.
Yeah, at that time, Dirty White Belt was called Concussion Cast. And it was Concussion Cast Carnival. And they put the cage that's here at cage side, they put that underneath the canopy at a park in Durham.
Yeah. Wow. So he had just competed off of that. I'm like, I don't want to work with this guy, but you know, I'm not going to like tell Hoyce no. And then Hoyce actually used me as an uki the whole time, and I was like sweating from every orifice. I was so nervous. And he kept like smirking at me. He does this half smirk, and I was like, this guy.
That one?
That one right there. And that was before all this was on his face. And then we ended up training together a bit after that. We were both in other relationships at the time. Ended up training together and became more and more friendly. And then we sparred one time. We were at another gym, not his gym and not my gym, like a neutral place.
We're both getting ready for MMA fights. It was my first MMA fight. She had had a couple.
Yeah, one I had or two by then. And we were hardcore sparring, and I need him so hard. And I was like, I tell people that's the moment he fell in love. He'll say no, but
no. I think what you say is, I need you in the leg, and I dropped you
because I did.
Bullshit.
Because I did.
No.
He punched me real hard after. Real hard after, but that now I have tiny little knees, and they get like up where it dead legs you.
Nobody dropped in the making of that MMA practice.
And then just we became
close
over time.
Is there any video footage of that?
No.
Actual sparring.
There is video footage of him slapping me in the face with MMA gloves when I was getting ready for a fight, though, because we did keep our relationship secret for a while, just because, you know, it's a small community. We didn't want it to be weird for people, and then now we're just in everybody's face and annoying about it, so.
I love it. I love you guys' dynamic. And, you know, she does admit, though, John, quite often in her blog post that she should listen to you more.
Yeah, she should.
Oh, no, I mean, this is his favorite
topic. It took her a while to figure that out, but now she's coming around a little bit.
Seems like it. I don't know, you know.
He thinks just because he's, like, the number one AARP member, he has more life lessons.
Well, I was trying to put 2 years
yeah,
on.
Yeah, she's got old jokes for days.
Because they never get old, unlike you. I'm going to pay for this at practice.
Yeah, right. There you are. That's a good thing. You know, getting ready for upcoming competitions. I want to kind of go back to one of your blog posts, specifically plateaus. Phil, and by the way, Phil, you can get in this conversation anytime. I always encourage you to talk
ready.
More.
I'm ready.
So let's go.
What are your thoughts on plateaus?
So this was actually John's idea to do this post. Because we were hearing a lot from people at our gym, like thinking like, I'm not getting any better. I'm hitting plateaus. And John was talking to me, and he was saying, you know, I don't believe that there's such a thing as a true plateau. Sometimes it just feels like a plateau. And this was actually probably my favorite blog post as well, because we've all felt like that, especially those of us that compete often, and we'll just hit, like, roadblocks. And when you're at your own gym, people know your game. They know what you go for. And they're also getting better at the same rate that you are, so sure. It doesn't feel like you're elevating yourself, which is why I believe, like, wholeheartedly in going to other gyms, going to different open mats, rolling with different people, and just competing all over. I've had times when I first got my purple belt, I was coming off an ACL injury, and it took me a while to win. And then I was losing so much, and then I started winning significant competitions, and I still lose, like, plenty. But people associate me with winning just because I compete so much. And John and I both agree, probably, like, half and half. But, you know, he's won such significant accolades as well that people, they, when you start winning, people ignore your losses, and that's how it is. And I have, like, a similar motto for, like, when my hair is doing some weird stuff, I'm like, the uglier my hair looks, like, the better I have to fight, because then people just start talking about my fighting. It's, like, the same concept. And I wrote that specifically for a couple students at our gym who were talking about the plateaus, and they said it really helps them. And I was like, we all feel that way at every single belt. John told me he feels that way at black belt, but it's not true. Like, you're not plateauing, you are getting better. And it's that we have on the board right now at the gym, you guys probably saw it yesterday, where it said 1% better every day.
Yeah.
And half of that 1% is just getting out of bed and going to the gym. That's half right there, because that'll, you know, I write about, like, depression and anxiety a lot, and, like, feeling down on yourself and negative. And to me, it's a win when I feel like that, to just get out of the house and be working towards a goal.
That's a great example, because, like, this past week.
Oh, hi, sorry.
This past week, it's been, like, for me, like, with work and a lot of other things, has been really, really stressful. And I've had to come into the gym, and I rely a lot on Samantha and a lot and my other instructors at the school to take over when I'm not there. I like being there, and I like teaching, and that's why I go in. But then whenever things happen where I can't get there on time, it just drives me crazy, because I rely on, still to this day, I rely on jiu-jitsu as a therapy, as a stress relief from all the crap that I have to deal with through the week with other things. And so me getting ready for the CVL Pro tomorrow, and I really wanted to spend a lot of time training, so she'll tell you that Thursday I came in there, I was already, like, I think 40 minutes late, if not later than that. And I got in there, got my no-gi stuff on, and I was like, all right, who's ready to go? I'm ready to go, one after the other.
We rolled nonstop.
Yeah, nonstop. Because
a bad day in
jiu-jitsu. Shark tank, yeah.
Bad day in jiu-jitsu is still a good day in life.
And when I left there, I felt amazing, just because I got to put all that stuff that happened during the day, the monotonous, stressful, you know, dealing with traffic and everything else that happened during that day. I had to, it all went away whenever I stepped on the mat and started training, and my mind went other places.
He walked in and saw my face and just, like, today is the day.
Like, I'm going to smash her today.
Yeah, he did. He made me roll with it, but it was so unfair. He made me roll with him.
She knew that it was a different day.
Oh, he makes me roll with him. He made me roll with my brother that day, too, who's just jacked. And then he made me roll with one of our purple belts, who's on the SWAT team, this big dude, he's so good. He looks at him and he goes, smash her with everything. Like, he neon bellied my soul.
And you're better for it.
I am. I tell people all the time, I'm, you know, they see me get beat up. I'm 114 pounds soaking wet, fight at 105, and I tell them all the time, I'm like, hard practice, easy fight.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. My practices are so hard. If I went off by how I did in practice, I would think I was, like, the worst competitor alive. But, you know, I'm going against people that are twice my size, and they're huge, and they're real good, too.
Yeah.
And then I go and I fight 105ers, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, like,
this is easier.
Is this what it's like?
Yeah.
Is this
pressure's
how I
not
feel?
Bad at all. But I want to kind of go back to two things that you said, Samantha. And the first was ACL surgery. And afterwards, you said, you know, you lost a lot and you still competed. I'm interested, did your game change any because of that? And is there anything that you can point to, like, in your game that's better today because of that injury?
Yeah. And, you know, he'll tell you, oh, she hates complimenting me, but I switched to train under John at that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so much more technical. The way he sets out his lesson plans for class. Like, we do something different every week, and it's set out. You guys were in class yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, we start with our takedowns. We're not a guard pulling school. We're very aggressive. Start with our takedowns. Then we do our drills and then our techniques. And we do this every class, and it's the same thing every week, but it's very broad, so it'll be like submissions from the guard this week. So whoever's teaching can kind of teach whatever submissions they want, and they all intermingle. Mm-hmm. And then when I tore my ACL, that was really hard for me because fighting has been my dream since I was about 14. And I didn't just tear my ACL, I tore four ligaments. I tore like my ACL, my MCL, my meniscus, and my PCL. It was pretty bad. I also dislocated my knee and fractured my patella. And John would just tell me, like, hey, this is a small part in your life. Like, you're gonna get past this. It's gonna be fine. He gave me my daily sponge baths, which help a lot. And he hates when I say that. I'm light. He just like was able
to
just.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know.
And, and then, you know, I started focusing more on, like, because there was a time where I was like, man, if I'm just aggressive, like, I can win. And it helps a lot, especially as a female. There are some girls, like, aggression will win a lot of the fights and stuff. But then the better you get, the better they get. You start going against people where, like, oh, now I need technique. And he comes from a very old school lineage with Ruben, his professor, Rubens Rodriguez, Rubal Carioca, and under him, and Joe Moreira, who is above him. And it's just that old school, like, listen, like, technique works, staying tight works, and we just drill constantly, nonstop. And, you know, this is, like, my life. It helps having somebody who's so attuned to the lifestyle, because whereas in a previous relationship, I'd be like, hey, I gotta go to train, and they'd get mad. He'd be like, get up, you gotta go train, you know, stuff like that. And then he's also there for, like, the hard days when there was a time I came home in the middle of fight camp after being Shark Tank. And I was good the whole night, like, I felt it, but I was okay. And he just looked at me and was like, hey, are you okay? And I just started crying. Like, it was a rough day, but, you know, he was there for me and made it better. And then he was like, hey, this is what we'll focus on today after my matches today. He was like, so we need to work on this. My hands were backwards on three of my leg locks, my leg lock attempts. So, you know, stuff to work on, but he's really good about sitting me down. And then another thing that helped me a lot was Josh Robinson came to our school, and his stand-up is phenomenal. And he's under Clinton Smith, who's certified crew, and Josh's stand-up is incredible. And that now I feel so confident, like, standing up, going for takedowns, and my grappling on the ground. So it just made me a better, well-rounded fighter, and that's how I feel. Instead of having, like, one go-to where, oh, this is what she's known for, I feel like I can be, like, unstoppable in every aspect of the fight game, and especially, like, the mental fight game, too.
Yeah. What's your ultimate goal with fighting?
Champion, number one spot. I would love to see Adam Weight Division in the UFC. I know I have a strong team behind me, and I believe in myself a lot too, so I feel like I can make it all the way with the people I have.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think so too. But I want to get back to that. John, you know, I'm lucky enough to where my job takes me all over. You know, the night before I was training with you, I was training in Las Vegas with Sergio Pena, which was great. And by the way, you guys covered the same material, which was also awesome.
Because
I love the teaching style that you have. You know, Phil, take it away for what you learned last night that you had never implemented before.
Engaging the hips in the guard. I always struggle with, I'm smaller than most people, I always struggle breaking it open. Mm-hmm. I'll bait triangles a lot to try to go for that stack pass, because I can never, like, force it. Yeah. But
I did the same thing as a white belt.
Yeah.
I got yelled at a lot for that, too.
And I'm always like, yeah, I know, like, it's stupid, but, you know, hey. I believe his name was Eric, right?
Eric Cohen.
Yeah, I had a great time working with him. He drilled super hard. Yeah. He was correcting a lot of my reps and stuff, which I always appreciate. And yeah, he was like, engage your hips, and it's going to stress the guard immediately.
Yeah.
And just that super small detail that I would use every time I roll is that I loved it. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, appreciate that. And you can thank my professor for that. Like, he's old school Brazilian. You know, he comes from, you know, he's from Brazil. He started training judo when he was 12 years old. He you know, went into jiu-jitsu. Worked with in the Gracie schools in Brazil. When he got his black belt, they, you know, brought him over to California to teach in the schools in California. And then he moved to North Carolina. He was in the Brazilian Special Forces, so He's a tough son of a bitch.
Dude, so, those strokes couldn't take him out. What do you think we can do to him?
Right?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so, you know.
Everybody, who bowed karaoke for those of you out there that don't know?
Yeah, he's currently under Joe Moreira. He's, you know, he's a 6-degree black belt through IBJJF. There's still, the paperwork needs to go through, and he needs to wait a little bit more time before they award him a 6-degree. But I don't know if you know, but Joe Moreira has a federation, and so does IBJJF. And so the two different federations there. And he's a certified black belt through both of them, but he's just got to wait some time through IBJJF to get that 6-degree. But he's already currently a 6-degree with Joe.
By the way, some of the most hilarious Facebook posts you'll ever
see
come out
of him.
Oh, my
goodness.
And ridiculous ones, too. They are. I love following him on Facebook.
That's how Brazilians are. It's that sense of humor. If you know, like, the old school Brazilians, that's how they are. But he got, man, like, what he's taught John, like, I see it. I'll never forget that one day when John was like, man, like, if Ruben did this to you, like, you would feel like you were dying under him, his pressure. He was like, but, like, it's you guys don't understand, like, I don't do that. And all the instructors were like, yeah, you do. Like, he goes so, like, that's just how it is. Like, he's so intense when he's demonstrating a move and he doesn't realize that he's not being strong with it, but his technique is so good. And that's how Ruben was. So that one day, and I was like, nope, you almost, like, took my shoulder out. Just
I was Ruben's Uki for a long time. And I remember, like, dying under him several times from pressure passes.
Now I die under you. On the mats.
I knew that was going on.
So, I'm excited out there. Toro Cup 12, ladies and gentlemen. Toro Cup
12. It's always a great time at Toro.
It is. It is. Love it here. And so, our first remote session. So it's kind of fun. And so I want to get back to you, Samantha, and the fact that you saw your women's self-defense. God, you had a lot of ladies out
that
had never done jiu-jitsu
40.
Before, right?
None of them
had ever done jiu-jitsu.
I had three people helping me, and then the rest of the people there had never stepped foot inside a gym.
Wow.
It's amazing to see that because... Like, you know, we talked about doing it for a while, and then we just got caught up.
We were going
with,
out of town every weekend to compete.
We got caught up with competitions, getting ready for fights, and everything else is going on. And then finally, we were able to schedule it. And it was the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, man, I don't know if this is a great time because it's right after Thanksgiving.
He thought people were going to be out of town.
People were going to be out of town. You know, does people really want to come and do this during a vacation, you know? So we were like, I don't know if it's gonna be a good time, you know. And then we started throwing the event out there, and it started getting a lot of traction. We started seeing all these people sharing
it. It had like 80 something shares on Facebook, and
people
really appreciated the fact that
we
shared. Yes, thank you for that. You know, I'm certified in self defense, in jiu-jitsu, and MMA, and I believe wholeheartedly that if a woman is teaching self defense, I'm like, you cannot teach self defense until you've been punched in the face full force by a grown man. It's different. I don't care what people say, like, men hit different than women. It's different. My coaches and instructors, I've been given black eyes by them, but, you know, I sign up for this. This is what I want. This is what I want to do. I know what it's like to be hit full force by a man, by a woman. I know what it's like to be in the middle of, like, where your adrenaline's pumping really hard. And I worked really hard on my certifications and on my, you know, teaching, and that's all under John. And I worked hard for that, and so I was like, you know what, I'm passionate about this. And then we held a bake sale and a clothing drive as well, and I was able to donate that all to women's shelters and fight domestic violence. So, and in college, my degrees are in criminology and psychology, so I know a lot about the whole statistics and how the majority of the times it's, you know, from like an intimate partner and stuff like that. So we talked a lot about that and situational awareness. Also because I get tired of seeing videos online where I'm like, oh my God, please don't do that.
Well,
and don't tell people to do that.
Back to the certifications though, what she's referring to is certifications in teaching self-defense. So under Joe Moreira, he does a instructor's course.
It's a 3-day course.
It's a 3-day course. He covers jiu-jitsu, MMA, and self-defense. And so I've taken that course twice now.
And I took it back in Costa Mesa at his headquarters. He taught this was an amazing trip. He taught the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu part of it. Marco Ruas taught the MMA part of it. And Francisco Masor taught the self-defense part of it. So I don't know if you guys know who those individuals are.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But they're really significant in old school, you know, Marco Ruas, Vale Tudo, and Luto Libre, and, you know, and all those things. Francisco Masor was Helio Gracie's right-hand man for a lot of years. He was a, you know, police chief in Rio de Janeiro, got shot like 9 times and survived. He's still alive to this day. He has Kyoto. Kyoto is his gym, and that's in New York, is his affiliation. Wow. So he, you know, that's who Joe Moreira's master is Francisco Masor.
Dude, Joe Moreira, super nice guy, scariest man alive.
Yeah.
And I grabbed him, and he is so strong.
So not only did I go to that instructor's course there in Costa Mesa, but then last year, I had Joe come here and do an instructor's course here. It was the first one in the East Coast. And so I had,
I was going to say, I bet it was.
All of my instructors that I currently have went through that instructor's course. So I take a lot of pride in being certified, and I take a lot of pride in my instructors being certified as well. I'm also certified in both federations, like I talked about before. Through IBJJF and Joe Moreira's Federation, USFBJJ. And so I think I'm the only one in this area that is certified black belt under two different federations. Mm-hmm. And so I take a lot of pride in legitimizing, you know, what we do.
Yeah. And,
you know, so.
Well, you can tell. You can tell by your teaching methods, the way you approach it, just your passion for it, it comes through.
Thank you.
And that's really appreciated. I want to go back to, you guys are going to, what, the Charlottesville competition tomorrow. What is it, quintet style?
Right, it's a CVL Pro submission grappling quintet style competition.
Yeah, and since Samantha just competed, I want to go back to, you know, a lot of people, we've kind of covered when it's time to compete, and kind of the boiled down version of that is when you ask when it's time to compete, it's time to compete.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
But as far as competition mindset, how do you approach competition, and maybe take a look at, you know, a couple weeks out to right before your matches, you know, just kind of going into that. And I'd like to hear that from both of you guys, because it interests me, and I think it interests Phil, because Phil got into jiu-jitsu really to compete. That's what appealed to him. So could you just take me through that?
Well, the way I look at competing now is, I guess this is the same as I kind of looked at it before, but I have a better knowledge of what it means to compete now. So when I first started, like, my motto was, who do I fight next? I didn't give a crap who they put in front of me. I don't care what the weight is. I don't care how good they are. I was like, give me another, you know? I want to do it. Like, the rush that I got from competing, even as a white belt, was awesome. Like, I remember competing in wrestling and stuff when I was in high school, and I really enjoyed it. And so I was just like, give me another, you know? And I wanted that rush. And as I started getting more involved in jiu-jitsu and my skill got better, I started to learn that there was a lot more to just going out there and fighting. It was more of like trying to understand myself and trying to regulate different things that happened in my body during a match, and trying to keep myself under control during the match. So it's a more of learning, you know, it's self, it's more of being like, you know, understanding completely who you are and what it takes to limit the emotions and limit the things that happen naturally as humans while we're in a struggle like that, you know? So to me, it's the ultimate. It's the ultimate self-control to be able to do those things and to be able to do the things you know is necessary without having these emotions come up and stop you and divert you from those, and being able to regulate your heart, being able to regulate your oxygen, your adrenaline, all those things that takes place, your breathing, everything.
Yeah, I agree with that. The thing I probably take most pride in is during a competition, I'm very calm. But beforehand, I do get nervous. I was just talking to somebody else about that, and they were like, oh, you're never nervous. No, I get nervous beforehand, but like John was saying, I'm really good at controlling those emotions, and I get more excited than nervous, where at first it was just like straight nerves. Now it's more excitement with a little bit of nerves, but the second I'm in the middle of the competition, I'm fine. I can tune out everything and just listen to my coaches and my instructors. Especially with MMA, because that's what I love. Like, my title fight, going for the Atomweight Championship, is February 1st, and I'm just ecstatic about that. I cannot wait for that.
February? Where is it? Give us a little.
It's going to be in Norfolk, Virginia.
Norfolk, yeah.
And it's under the Spartica promotion, and I've heard nothing but like amazing things. I've been wanting to fight for them a while. You know, it's a little hard finding an opponent at 105, so I'm really grateful.
This is the first title at 105 that they've had. So, at the atomweight division,
yeah, because
they didn't have an atomweight division before. So,
but we're coming. Those atomweights, we are coming for everyone.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, it really does make sense. You know, I think that MMA in general is going towards more weight classes rather than less, with the exception of the UFC and cutting out their 135 men's class. But yeah, I think that definitely makes sense. And so going back to competition, so those nerves, whenever you have those, you say it's nerves and excitement. You know, whenever I did it, I was... Well, you actually refereed three of my matches.
I did.
In Greensboro. I made one bad call, but it didn't result in a loss.
He won. We didn't want anybody's head getting slammed on the cement, which I actually saw happen earlier that day, too.
Yeah, no, that was a dad.
Well, the thing about being nervous during competition is necessary. And the reason why it's necessary to be nervous is because it heightens all your senses.
Yeah, and it means you care.
Yeah. So if your senses are heightened, then you're able, your timing's better, you're able to notice things, you're able to see things clearer.
Muscle memory kicks in.
And your brain is more focused on that fight at the time, rather than being completely relaxed and just complacent about it, you know?
We love competition.
The thing that most people that are good get caught when they become complacent about certain positions. They don't expect this guy to be able to have anything in that position.
So they don't respect the grips. But, I mean, it's not just jiu-jitsu. People in life, you become complacent in life, and that's when, like, you inhibit your growth. Like, nobody grows inside their comfort zone.
Yeah.
It's not how life works. You know, the same, like, pressure makes diamonds. Like, you have to push yourself in life, on the mats, in the cage, in relationships. Hey.
I see who pushes who in the relationship.
First of all... Y'all are gonna get me in so much trouble on Monday.
They don't have to help.
Okay. So, aside from keep your elbows in and don't attack from the guard, which you said a lot last night to your white mouth.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so
that was great.
Let me just follow up on the reason why.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a lot of new people that just joined lately. And when I say new, I say, you know, anywhere from, you know, 1 to 2 months to current, right? And, you know, some of those guys don't come in very often, so I've had to say this several times during, especially this week.
This week and
last week. The week before. And so, you know, you see guys come in, and they can't get out of somebody's guard, like Samantha. Samantha's got a great guard. She's smaller. So these big guys are so frustrated. They can't get out of her guard, or they can't get out of somebody else's guard. My daughter is an excellent one too. Julie, she competed today. She won her match. She's one of my students, and she has an excellent guard. And it happened last night. Like, and that's why I talked about it. We had three different guys last night try to do something to somebody while they were stuck in the guard. And I tell my students all the time, I don't want to see you doing nothing but posturing up and opening the legs and passing the legs. That's the only thing you should be thinking about in that guard. That's it.
All I thought about today when I was in the guard. I was like, posture, break.
And by the way, for all those warriors out there in the audience, that is phenomenal advice. It's advice you should take and you should implement into your game immediately, because that is what you're supposed to do whenever you're in the closed guard. So that's a really, really good tip. That's really why I wanted to go over it, because I think that's that you have to remind yourself of
these. Yeah, you're gonna leave yourself vulnerable to submissions if you don't. And you know, as an instructor, it's my job to tell people, like, when I do that, like, hey, you're gonna get caught.
If I think about all the times that I got caught in the closed guard, it's if I wasn't postured up and these guys, the legs were closed.
Yeah, and so don't let them get their angle on you. Just
no,
square.
No, follow the hips.
You said that in my match, yep. Square up. Square
you have
up.
To follow the hips. So one of the principles behind fighting in the guard is creating angles. So if, like, Joe Moreira does an excellent job of talking about the principles of fighting off your back, principles of fighting on top. So the principles of fighting on bottom is the guy on bottom needs to be offline. If you're in the guard, if I have the closed guard, I need to get offline, create angles, just like in stand-up fighting. Once I create angles, then I can go for submissions.
Angles make strangles.
The guy that's on the top, the guy that's in the guard, he has to try to follow and stay center line with the guy that has the guard. If he's not center line, then bad things can happen there. So that's the principles behind fighting in those positions. And Joe does a really good job of talking about your lines of defenses when you have the guard. So it may not be closed guard, but if the bottoms of the feet are showing towards your opponent and they're in between your legs, that's a guard. It doesn't matter what kind of guard it is. So that's number one, right? The shins to the knees, from the foot to the knee. That's your second defense. So somebody passes your feet, now you have your shins to defend it.
Like knee shield.
Right. You know, so now they get past the knees. Then you have your hands to defend with. They get past your hands, then you should never let anybody pass your hands. You have the forearms, from the elbow to the arms to defend. Then if they pass that, you have your shoulder, and then you're back out again. You understand?
Yes.
So completely around. All right? All right, so that's the way, like, from working with Joe Moreira and these principles, it really helps out define that game.
Yeah. No, great. Great knowledge there for everyone to listen to. And so Samantha, I wanna twist that question just a little bit to you, and that is boy, Boomer's really getting into it.
Typed
out there.
Yeah, that's John actually had to go run out to coach the guys. That's why he.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So John just made his exit, but he'll be back. But I want to kind of turn that question, and we have quite a few folks, and our women's program has really come along. We're having new women starting, and I think that you have a unique perspective, because I think that every training partner that we can get on the mat benefits us, because I know that I actually really enjoy training with our women in our school, because it makes me more technical to train with
it them. Does smaller people learn technique faster. That's not to say bigger people don't have technique, because
no,
they do and they'll
point.
Get it.
I don't.
It's just the smaller people learn it quicker, because we have to. I look at the guys all the time and I'm like, do you think I can hold any of you down just because I want to? Like, there's no way. I don't care how much jujitsu I know, I'm not holding these big guys down. They could just throw me off of them without using jujitsu. So I just have to be more technical and work around that. And it's really earned a lot of respect for me from them at the gym. So I have like a rule now where when anybody new comes to the gym or any guest or anything, I always make sure to roll with them, because I don't want them ever to think like, well, why is she an instructor? Is it because they needed a girl instructor? Is it because she's seeing John? Like, no, I earned it.
Oh, 100%. I think, yeah. And I think that I mean, for me, looking outside in, and I want to go back to and kind of address something you said earlier, because you said, you know, you lose, but they only remember the wins. The win is competing. It's not winning at competing. The win is that you're competing. That's why they see you as a winner.
That's why I'm so bad at when they're like, oh, are you going to be like Connor and talk crap about your opponents? I'm like, no, I think it's really respectable that someone gets in a cage. Like, I'm okay.
You are not hyping that
and
up.
I can't. I know. The only time I can do it is if someone talks crap about me first, and then I will go for their throat. But, like, until then, I'm like, no, they're just out here trying to do their best, make a living. Like, I'm still going to try and beat the brakes off of you, but, you know, respectfully.
That's great. So, John and Samantha, thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast today. This has been awesome. I think that's our thing now, Phil, is couples on the podcast, because we had AJ and Jane. James Klingerman.
Great people. They're great people.
They are awesome.
Man, if people are like, I want a relationship like that. Ooh, too much pressure. Yeah, I know, right? Do better than us. Aspire higher.
Tell folks out here, tell the Warriors that listen to our podcast how they can support you guys, where to go, what to do.
And which aspect? Because we have so many things that we work on. Like, we have, you know, I have the jiu-jitsu school. I'm also starting some other businesses.
Mention them.
I have a lot of products that I'm promoting.
Jits Juice is one of them, right? I
meant Jits to Juice.
Get that from me, too.
Oh, that stuff's amazing. I take it every day.
Yeah,
every
so, day. You know, I have a lot of stuff that's going on. She has a lot of stuff that's going on. Things that we're working on together and trying to come up with and some... some other stuff in the future, growing the school, growing the affiliation, and you know, that's kind of like you know, a gimme as far as I'm concerned. That's sure. a gimme all the way around.
Our school is always open down in Fuquay Arena, North Carolina. We mm-hmm. welcome visitors all the time. We love having people stop by and come in.
And we definitely highly recommend.
If yeah, you're in thank the
area,
you.
Please
shell shock BJJ.
Yeah, and you know, we also have other teams in our affiliation, so. Not only is it us, but we also have our headquarters is in Mebane, North Carolina. We just merged with, I don't know, you guys know Alan Crowder, UFC fighter.
Yeah. Fighting in January, yeah, January 19th.
That's right.
January 19th. He's been in our affiliation for quite some time now. And we just moved our headquarters into his new gym in Mebane, North Carolina. Brand new facility. He not only is our headquarter affiliation there for jiu-jitsu, but he has a full fitness gym there. He has, MMA program that he's running there. So, you know, we're really excited about working with those guys and doing that. You know, and of course, you know, the head of the affiliation, Rubens Rodriguez, is there. And we also have teams in the Charlotte area. Concord is one of our teams. That's Evolution Fitness. So if you're ever in Concord, go to Evolution Fitness. Sean Burton is the instructor. Amazing guy. He's a wizard on the mats. Most people don't know him.
It's true.
But, man,
wizard.
I tell you, just when I think I know jiu-jitsu, you talk to this guy, and I promise you, you'll understand. You think you knew jiu-jitsu after you have a conversation with him.
Vernon Kirk, who has Indian Trail.
Yeah, Vernon Kirk.
Who hit the guy's face with the planet.
Yeah, and he has a school in Indian Trail, North Carolina. And so when you're ever in the area, he's also a black belt in judo. So, you know, his throws and everything.
That was obvious by his.
Just like I saw in Toro Cup 12. He just put this guy on his head. And that's not the first time that that's happened. He's done it in competition several times. So go there, train with him, judo. We also have Section 8 MMA in Lexington, North Carolina. And so Chad Stevens, he's a black belt out there. Great, excellent MMA program over there too. So if you're ever in that area, go see them. We're also planning on potentially opening up another school in the Wendell area. So hopefully that can be an additional school in the affiliation. So Those are things that we're working on right now. Those are the affiliations that we have current, or teams that we have currently in our affiliation. And, you know, we, with just a small amount of teams in our affiliation, we're a strong affiliation. And just
highly
to give you...
competitive, just like Ranger Up, we had the lowest amount of competitors, but the highest amount of points per
person.
Competitor. So we took second overall as a team. And then as far as other stuff, supporting-wise, my fight February 1st in Norfolk, Virginia. People could stay up to date on stuff I'm doing. I have a Facebook page, Samantha the Wolf Queen Seth. My Instagram is Sammy, S-A-M-I, underscore MMA. And then I do run my blog. I put out a new blog every Tuesday, and that's www.wolfqueenmma.com.
Highly, highly recommend the blog. It's raw, it's uncensored, it's well-written. And
thank
something
you.
I look forward to reading all the time. And if you want to also find the blog, you can see it because I share every one of her blog posts on BJJ Campaign Facebook page. Phenomenal. Really loved it. And if you want to support the BJJ Campaign podcast, Phil, how would you, I mean, you were really talking today.
Yeah, tell
how
us,
would
Phil.
You do that?
So tell us.
We
with
now
your melodic
have,
voice.
Yeah, thank you. We now have t-shirts made up by James here. They look amazing.
Nobody knows James. It's Boomer.
It's Boomer. Great guy. Really nice place. This is my first time here. This is a really cool place. They're available on the website now. You can buy a t-shirt or just find us on Facebook. We are also now on Instagram. We're like two entire pictures up. So that's pretty
more
cool.
More than that, I put a bunch up today.
Jeff awesome. Did put a bunch up. Yeah. So yeah, Instagram. And we'll just link all that stuff. Thank you guys again. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the conversation. You guys have a lot of obviously funny, but you know, great stuff too.
Yeah, we're plethoras of knowledge.
Thank you guys for having us on. We appreciate it. And anytime you're welcome to my school.
Oh, it's not the last time you're going to see us.
Yeah,
like,
come down and roll with me, please. Like, I was really upset
that.
I missed out on that.
Yeah, I love it. So, guys, if you're not out there, and girls, doing something better with yourself, get out there and do it. Whether it's jiu-jitsu or not, I say it should be jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
but
it.
Whatever it is, just go out and do it.
I'm about to feed them to the sharks right now.
Get them hyped right now.
Yeah. You know the ground design.
Yeah.
Everybody that trains, you know the game.
Yeah.
So let's get it. Slap it up, bump it, and roll.
Hey.
Yeah, that's the way that it goes.
Aye.
Ain't no better way to better yourself in this game. You're feeling the growth.
That's
time on the mat. We put in the work. Believe it ain't easy, I know. But we train for the love of the game, the love of the art. Now slap it up, bump it, let's roll.
Let's roll.